God. Exodus 25 again. Lesson number 31. Message number 31. Praise God. We're coming close to the end, though. Praise God. I'm not sad about it either. You know, I'm a little tired, but we're going to, I ain't said we was at the end now. that could change, y'all. But Exodus 25:1, look at 1 again, 25:1, and began reading, praise God, let me find my spectators there. All right, here they are. Praise God. 1, it reads thus, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly. Everybody say willingly.
Willingly.
With his heart, ye shall take my offering. This is the offering which you shall take of them. Gold, silver, and brass, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skin, chitin wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set in the ear part, in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary. Everybody say sanctuary. That I may dwell among them. And our scripture for today, Exodus 30, the 30th chapter of the book of Exodus. We're moving on a little further to another very important article in the holy place. Amen. 30:1, read thusly, and thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shall thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, a cubit the breadth thereof, 4 square shall it be. 2 cubits shall be the height thereof, the horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, the sides thereof round about, the horns thereof, and thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about it. And 2 golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it by the 2 corners thereof. Upon the 2 sides of it shalt thou make it, and they shall be for places for the staves to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, overlay them with gold. Thou shalt put it before the veil. Somebody said, before the veil. That is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat, and over the testimony, where I will meet thee. Say that again together. Where I will meet thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dressed the lamps, and he shall burn incense upon it. Now, verse 8, and when Aaron lighteth the lamps at evening, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation. And ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall you pour drink offering thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generation. It is most holy. Everybody say most holy. It is most holy unto the Lord. Let's bow here for a word of prayer. Father God, we bless you today. Lord, thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to be a mouthpiece, to speak your word, Father, your precious word, your wonderful word. Lord, I thank you for just another opportunity. And Lord, I just pray, Father God, that you give us ears to hear. Lord, give us eyes to see that which you would relay unto us today. Lord God, open our understanding, Lord. Father God, we realize, Lord, that many times it's sin in our lives that causes us not to be benefit from your word. And therefore, Lord, we ask your forgiveness right now. Forgive us for our sins. Cleanse us, Lord. Wash us, Lord, in your blood once again. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, that all hindrances might be removed. And the word might be beautiful to us today. And Lord God, we'll give you all the praise. We'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Part 31. Hope you have a handout. Hope you everybody got a handout. Praise God. You can easily see the altar of incense. There it is, right next to the veil, the curtain, that big curtain behind it there. That's the only thing separating the holy place from the most holy place, where we find the mercy seat, where we find the ark of testimony, which contains the commandments, the bread, and Aaron's rod that budded. Amen? Praise God. So we're getting closer and closer now. But this altar is a picture, again, it's Christ. It's a picture of Christ, y'all, a beautiful picture of Christ our Lord. Amen? And the incense points to the intercessions, the prayers, and praises presented to God the Father by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How many of y'all see that? Praise God. And again, remember now, the position of this altar, look where it's at now. It's right there. It's right next to the curtain of the veil that leads into the most holy place. Very important, the position that it's in. Amen? It tells us exactly what Christ, our great high priest, is doing right now in heaven. In heaven, it tells us that Christ, what Christ is doing. Because this is a pattern, right? Y'all remember the word pattern? What you see here in this earthly tabernacle is a pattern of what we have in the heaven. Did we see that in the Word of God? So it tells exactly what Christ is doing in heaven this very moment. Amen? It's located just outside the most holy place. Just outside. And that's real important, y'all. Just outside the most holy place. Amen? Where the veil is there and the curtain is there. Amen? And if you recall now, we talked about two altars so far, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about the brazen altar. Mm-hmm. Nobody, everybody got one? Hmm? Yes, that's the altar of incense. You didn't get one? Okay. We make sure everybody got one. Okay. Y'all slacking back there, brothers. Everybody need one. If you don't have one, raise your hand. Praise God. But the location is what's important. But we talked about two altars so far in this study. The brazen altar, is that right? And that was outside in the courtyard. Outside. It's in the tabernacle, but it was what? On the outside. Is that right? And now we're talking about the golden altar. There's a difference between gold and brass, right? Have we understood that so far? The brazen altar talks about judgment. It talks about Christ dying for our sins. It talks about where we began our journey of salvation, having our sins forgiven. Amen? That's brass. That's the brazen altar. But now we're looking at the golden altar. Amen? One's located outside, points to Christ's work of salvation, what he done on the cross for me and you. Amen? But now, the golden altar, which we're looking at today, it points to Christ, what Christ is doing now in heaven. Amen. What he did while he was here on earth, and what he's doing right now in heaven, and what he will be doing until his children come home. That's important, isn't it? Amen. It points to his prayerful intercession. He making intercession for the saints of God until we all get home. Amen. And that's right there close to the mercy seat. It's positioned in the right place for the right reason. Right beyond there is the mercy seat. Amen. Where the love of God is displayed toward his children there. Amen. And for, I just love it because, you know, everything is in place for a reason. Nothing in the Bible is haphazardly put there. Strategically placed, timing, everything is according to God's word. It's a message. It's a message in it. Amen. And Christ has gone beyond the veil now. He's gone beyond the veil. Is that right? He's in the heaven now. But what is he doing? He's accepting our prayers. Amen. He's modifying them. He's proofreading them, for lack of words, correcting them. Because sometimes, you know, we pray kind of off the cuff, so to speak. Give me Hebrews 10, y'all. Hebrews 10, amen. So Christ has gone beyond the veil. He's gone beyond the veil. He's into heaven now. But the ministry, his ministry of intercession continues. The prayer of the saint must continue. It shows how important prayer is, don't it? Huh? Prayer does change things, you know? And I guess why God put that song on me, about Baylor's song, because she said, my grandmother prayed for me. And at that very moment, I was dying. Cocaine had killed me. Drugs had, from a 15 years old when she had a first baby, 15 having a first baby out of wedlock, and then down with drugs until it just took her down. But somebody prayed. Prayer is a powerful thing, brother. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. Huh? It's the ministry that's going to, the gospel is going to fold up one day. Boy, them prayers still going up though, amen? Look at Hebrews 10 in your Bible, and look at 19 and 20 there. 10, 19, and 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Y'all got it? Boldness to enter into the holiest, not the most holy, but into the holy of holies, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil. That curtain you see there. That is to say, which is a picture of his what? Flesh. Amen? The veil. That's a message by itself. Amen? We're gonna try to do this altar of incense in one. I may have to marinate this by two or three times. It's just too much in here. I wouldn't dare rush through it because I couldn't get past two or three verses before, you know, I had to just say, Lord, I'm gonna have to do at least two or three on this here. But look at Revelation 5 now. Go to Revelation 5 now. So we ought to have boldness to enter. He entered in. And God gives us boldness. Amen. To enter into the holy. Remember now, the curtain, the veil has been torn. Y'all remember when Christ was resurrected? Did he rip that veil in the temple? Same thing here, y'all. No different. Huh? Making a way for us to come. Boldly. Huh? Through him, in his name, to God the Father, to himself. Yeah. Don't let me throw y'all off. That'll throw y'all, won't you? But look at Revelation 5 there now. The golden altar is Christ, right? The incense is the prayers of the saints. That's what the Bible says. Old Testament, New Testament, same thing. Look at 5 and 8 there. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials, full of odors, full of incense, which are the prayers of the what? The prayers of the saints. The ministry of prayer and intercession is so important, brethren. And we all are guilty of not praying enough. Huh? That should be the greatest ministry, our personal ministry before God, is our prayer life. Huh? If you don't have a prayer life, you have no connection with God at all. How many of y'all understand that? And we all guilty. I don't think none of us pray enough. None of us pray enough. Amen. And my prayer was that God began to deal with me. Lord, I'm going to have to, I know I got to pray more. I got to spend more time with you. Even though I try to pray all through the day, you know, as we move along. But we need to have some quiet time. Am I right about that? Look at Revelation 8 then. Go on over to Revelation 8 and we'll look at 3. Praise God. Talk about that ministry, his ministry of intercession, praying, the incense, the prayers of the saints, which goes before God each and every day. Amen? Amen. Christ being there to intercept them. It says in 8:3 there, Revelation 8:3, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer in his hand, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was what? You mean this altar, this same picture, they got one in heaven too? Yes, it is. In heaven too. Christ had to take the blood back. Didn't he take the blood back? He told Mary, touch me not. Is that right? Okay, so the blood is there, cleansing us over and over again, but the prayers are there. God hears. God hears. He want to hear from us. He want us to talk to him. Not just with your problem, but other people's problems. Old Tackett did a good job on that this morning. Look at that verse 4 there. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. The incense, the prayer, is a picture, a type of the prayers of the saints. The sweet smelling savor, the aroma that goes up before God. Amen. Christ's final work, his final work in heaven, this very moment now. What is it now? Interceding in our behalf. I like that. I love that. To know that I've got a lawyer. To know that I've got an advocate with the Father. To take my prayers, as feeble as they may be, as incorrect as they may be, as selfish as they may be, and he proofread them. He make the necessary correction that they may line up with God. Not my will, not your purpose, not what you want, but what God. Oh, y'all don't hear me today, do you? His final work, praise God, interceding our behalf. Is that right? I'm talking about the saints now. Ain't everybody. A lot of folks praying and God ain't paying no attention. Because, see, it's important that you pray the right kind of prayer. We see that by the fact that Christ intercedes for us. That means that we are not all the time praying the right kind of prayers. There are people who are not saved and they praying to God, give them a car. God don't care about you. You don't need no car. You need to know the Lord. You need to get to know Jesus, first of all, amen? But now, the prayers of the saints. Many times our prayers are off mark, or selfish, according to what I always wanted to do. And God is not going to present them to the Father, or shall I say, God is not going to present them to himself. Amen. Well, why do our prayers need to be corrected and proofread? Well, go to Hebrews 7 and look at the scripture. That's good. I can talk about it for today. But we know that our prayers are not all what they should be sometimes. Sometimes we're asking God for some things that are just off the chart. Amen? But I thank God that we got someone there in heaven right now. Praise God. He can fix it, y'all. He's a fixer. He's a fixer. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make what? Intercession. The Lord is, he's living, forever living to make intercession for us. His ministry, Christ's ministry has not stopped. Amen. It moved to another place. The salvation part has been taken care of, right? He took care of that on the outside to brazen it off while here on earth. He handled that salvation. That's over, y'all. But now he's making sure that his people are heard. Huh? That we are communicating properly with God, with himself. Oh, ain't that beautiful? Amen. But he ever lived to make intercession for us. Well, why do we have to make intercession for us? Look what go to Romans 8 then. Why do the Lord have to make it? Why do we have to proofread your prayers, Bree? Why do we have to untangle that mess you're trying to say? Amen. If we try to communicate with God, but sometimes it's a mess of some of the things we be saying, Lord, you know, the Lord, he can't present that to himself like that. Amen. Look at 8:26 there. Likewise, the Spirit also help our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself making intercession for us with groaning which cannot be what? For he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he make intercession for the saints according to what? Your will? What you think? What you want? I always prayed that I would get this and get not that. Amen. No. It's not your will. It's not my will, but your will be done is what Christ prays. Is that right? Amen. It's not about what you want. God has a plan for each and every. I know the plan I have for you. And all the time it ain't what you asking for. Huh? All the time it's not what you're asking for. Sometimes God changes the plans. He said, well, he just tell you no. You're not going to have that. And then you're going to stick your mouth out. And then he said, don't pout now. He says in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together. Don't pout now, because it's going to work out. It ain't the way you wanted it. It ain't what you wanted. It ain't how you thought it was going to be. But all things going to work together for the good. Woo. But will you trust him though? Will you trust God when things don't go your way? When he kind of change your plans? Can we trust him though? That's the main question. Amen. And many times God says, no, 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 that ain't going to happen. That ain't the way it's going to work out. Amen? But God saw, go to Isaiah, let me show you. God saw that his children were going to have a hard time down here. The Lord knew that when he departed, things going to change for God's people. And a lot of times it causes us to pray wrong when things we're up against persecution and problems and suffering and sickness and stuff like that. You know, Israel prayed. They wanted not spiritual help, but they wanted a physical kingdom with them in charge, didn't they? Huh? That's what they were praying for all them years. Lord, the Gentiles and all of them, they done put their foot on our neck these many years. Lord, we just praying that you would send us a Messiah, and when he come, he'll change things. But he did come, didn't he? Why didn't they recognize him? Because it wasn't according to... They rejected Christ because the Messiah they were praying for was going to take the Roman yoke off of their backs and off of their necks and put them in charge again. And he didn't do that. Amen. And he hadn't done it. Amen. He has not done it. Amen. What you see, the one that called himself Jews today, the prosperity they enjoyed, he didn't do that.
That's right.
He didn't do that. They did that. He allowed it, but he didn't do that. That wasn't his will, how they come about getting where they are right now. Charging us interest off the chart. Buy a house and pay for it 4 times. They set them interest. They did that. They are gypsies. They are swindlers. They are just that. God didn't do that, y'all. Amen. Oh, boy. Well, look at Isaiah 59, though. Go to 59 now. See, God saw that our stand for truth and righteousness here on earth will bring persecution to us. And sometimes when you're going through, like say you ask God for the wrong thing, you're back up against the wall, and Lord, I want you to take this away. I want you to move this mountain. Lord, I want you to help me here, Lord. And a lot of times God's design is not to get you out of things the way you want to get out. How many of y'all understand that? And Christ has to correct our prayers, just like he did, many times in the Word of God. Look at Isaiah 59 and look at 14. Look at 14. See, this is what the picture looked like today. But God, the Lord saw this. And like I say, it'll cause us to pray wrong sometime when we're up against the wall. It says 14. And judgment is turned away backward. Y'all got that? That's what it is today. Justice standeth afar off. Truth is falling in the street. Equality or equity cannot enter into this society. Yea, truth valid. He that departed from evil make himself a prey. That's us there. Those of us that made up our mind, we're going to live for God. We're not going to tolerate. We're not going to go along to get along. We're going to say what's right. We're not going to back off. We become targets. We become preys. That's what we are today. The Lord saw it. And it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man. And wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation to himself. His arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness is sustained him. When we become targets, and we are today, because we're going to stand, y'all. I am. I don't care if mama leave, daddy leave. I don't care who leave. I'm not going to move, y'all. I'm going to stand for what's right. Amen. If I'm criticized, ostracized, set aside, whatever side, I'm going to stand. And in the midst of persecution, we got an intercessor. We have an intercessor. The Lord is our intercessor. He knows, he sees, he knows what we're going through. Huh? And sometimes we have a tendency to ask God to get us out of things. Oh, y'all help me with this. When you're just where God wants you to be. Huh? But we have someone to scrutinize our prayers and to make the necessary corrections to let us know my grace is sufficient. Huh? My grace is sufficient. I love you in spite of what you're going through. I want you to know I still love you, and I'm with you, and I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. That's the God that we serve. But we have a tendency sometimes, Lord, get that fuck off my neck. Lord, my kinfolk don't like me. Nobody, Lord, don't nobody come around my house no more. Lord. Blessings come in many disguises, many different faces. Am I right about that? Praise God. At this moment, he's correcting our prayers when we pray under pressure, when we know we've been criticized and people don't like us because we stand for righteousness. We stand for truth today. And God's people got to stand. Huh? If nobody else stand, the children of God got to stand. Engage the culture is what Tacky said this morning. You got to engage it. We can't stand back and say, well, I ain't going to be a part of it. I ain't going to say nothing. That's the problem. We hadn't said anything. Preachers won't preach from the pulpit. Won't say anything. That ain't what God called us to do. Stand up. When you're done all, still stand. Amen? Is that the word of God? Praise God. Go to John 17 now. But Christ is still praying. He's not only interceding and accepting our prayers, but also he's praying for us. Oh, praise God. I'm us now. I'm talking about the children of God. Born again. Amen. Saved. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Christ praying for us. He's receiving prayers and making them presentable to himself. And then at the same time, he's praying for us. How many of y'all see that? What is he praying? Well, basically the same thing he prayed when he was here on earth. Look at 9. Can you go to 9 now? 17 and 9. Look at that. I pray for them. Y'all got it? Them who, y'all? Who is he talking about? I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Is that what Christ said? He ain't praying for the world. He ain't praying for people that aren't saved. And he don't want to hear but one prayer from you if you're not saved, and that is that I'm ready to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. You ain't got nothing else to say. He don't accept your prayer if you're not saved and you're not asking for salvation, and he don't pray for you. Is that what he said? He's doing the same thing today. It had not changed, y'all. He says, I pray for them, right? I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, all mine are thine, thine are mine. I'm glorified in them. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own word, own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one. You mean we in the world? He's praying for our protection. He's still doing that. That we're not influenced so much by this world that we're acting like them and we're thinking like them. We are different, y'all. I am different and I'm not ashamed of it. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away, and behold, all things become new. I'm not ashamed. I'm not like everybody else. Don't you tell me that I'm like everybody else. You insult me. Look at 14. Go on down to 14. He said, I've given them thy word. And the world hate them. Huh? Because they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the what? They are not of the world. Again, even as I am not of the world. Huh? He prays and he's praying. He prayed then and now he's interceding in heaven. He's praying for us that the world won't overtake us. Amen. We won't be like them. See, the church is trying to be like the world. Huh? Why can't you be just Preacher Milton? Huh? Why you got to be Dr. Milton? Why you got to be a doctor? The Lord ain't sick or nothing. Why you got to be a doctor, man? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Huh? I mean, that's all right in the educational system. Huh? One day they're going to call Brother Blackman Dr. Blackman. It's for his educational attainment in the education field. But no, that's good. But we don't need no doctors in the church. They have been influenced so much by the world that we have brought the world into the church. Am I right about that? So don't take them out, but just keep them. Is that what he says? See, the Bible tells them to love not the world, neither the things of the world. Is that what the Lord says? Come out from among them and be separate. Jesus praying now that we don't be so contaminated. We're rubbing shoulders with them every day. They cursing. We don't curse. They talking about Saturday night escapade. We talking about the prayer meeting. Y'all hear me? Am I right about that? There ought to be a difference between the two of us. Amen. He prays for our protection. Ain't you glad? Look at Hebrews 12 quickly. Come on now. Look at John. Look at John 17:13. Go on, say it, John. Let's look at that 13th verse there. 13th verse of John 17. And now come I to thee. Is y'all got it? These things I speak in the word. Now Jesus praying, right? That they might have my joy. My joy. Huh? Is that what he said? Fulfilled in them. My joy. My joy. In the midst of my persecution. In the midst of my being talked about. In the midst of people thinking we're going crazy. Huh? My joy. Huh? The joy of the Lord is my what? Is that what the Bible says? Well, look at Hebrews now. Look at Hebrews 12. Now, my joy, that my joy might be fulfilled in them. They might experience my joy even when they're going through. Even when the prayers they pray, and I done modified them so much until it ain't nothing like what they asked for. But they still got joy. Oh, y'all help me with this here. Look at Hebrews 12 and 2 there. Hey, what kind of joy are you talking about now? What kind of joy is this here? 12 and 2. Looking unto Jesus. The author and the finisher of what? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame that he suffered. And then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Huh? What kind of joy? My joy. A joy that can take shame. Criticism. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Let that joy that even though they're going up the right side of the mountain, let my joy remain with them. Let them stay joyful in their heart. The fruit of the Spirit, love and joy. Joy. Joy, joy, joy. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down it. Didn't we sing that, Milk, when we were kids, boy? I liked that song. Didn't know what it was, though. Didn't know nothing about it. Didn't know what it meant. They had no idea what it meant. But now when I sing it and put the word of God with it, I've got the joy. Ooh, praise God, down in my heart, amen. But he, for the joy set before him, joy to go to the cross, joy to despise the shame, joy to go through all kind of obstacles. I'm happy, y'all.
Amen.
I'm happy.
Amen.
I ain't sad because Kent folks don't like to come to my house. Maybe I should be a little bit. But Tony said he don't grab my happy saying. He don't grab hold to one of my nuggets. He told me this. He said, I'm like you, Pastor. I ain't had an unhappy day since I've been saved. A lonely day. It was a lonely day. I ain't been lonely, y'all. I haven't been lonely a day since I've been saved. Do y'all hear me? Because I'm not alone. I am not alone, y'all. I know I'm not alone. Glory to God. Oh, somebody shout glory to God. Look at John 3 quickly, y'all. Look at John 3 now. Joy that my joy be fulfilled in you. Amen. A joy that enabled us to suffer abuse and shame for his name's sake, y'all. For his name's sake. Is that important? Ooh, joy can look death right in the face, y'all. Joy that can look death in the face. And laugh at it. Oh, John the Baptist, he's my favorite, y'all. Look at John 3:28. Y'all got that? Huh? John 3:28. John the Baptist. He said, ye yourself bear me witness that I said, I'm not the Christ. I told y'all, I'm not him. But that I am sent. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend. That's me. I'm the friend, John says. Not the bridegroom. Standing and hear him, rejoice greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy. My joy. Is that for what? He must. He must. My joy. My joy is fulfilled. Just being the friend of God. To know that God called me his friend, y'all. I call you not servant. I call you friends. Because all that the Father tell me, I show you. I done revealed it unto you. I am hid nothing from you. I talk to you. When he's lifted up, I rejoice. Not when I'm lifted up. Not when I'm being praised, y'all. But when Jesus is getting the proper praise, I'm happy. It ain't about me, Rosemary. It ain't about you. It's all about him. And we ought to be happy when he is being lifted up. Or the world don't want to accept him, but God knows we accept him. And we will not deny him. We're going to praise him. We're going to worship him joyfully. Joyfully, y'all. Joyfully. Amen. That's what Christ praying for, that his joy might be what? Fulfilled in us. Look at John 17. Go back to John 17 again, y'all. This same prayer. What are we saying, Pastor? What are you saying? I'm saying the same prayers he prayed on earth are basically the outline of the same prayer. That's what he wants for us. He prayed for us that you hang on in there. Huh? Yeah, they talk about you on the job. Hang on in there. Huh? They think you're crazy, but hang on in there. Oh, that's stay with it. Amen. We on the winning team here. Look at it, 17:17 there again. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. The word is truth. Sanctify them. That's his prayer for us. That we might be sanctified through the word of God. Well, how are you going to be sanctified through the word of God if you never read the word of God? Study to show yourself approved unto God. It's the word of God that will sanctify us, separate us. The more you understand it, Milk, the more we're able to stand when the world is pulling us, when they're trying to get us to come over to their side. Amen. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Look at 17:21. Look at this prayer now. That they all may be one. Y'all got it? Unity in the church body. See, that's a problem we got in our churches today. Different opinions. Won't stay with the word of God. Well, I still think a woman body her own body. Church folks will argue you down, church folks. Oh, if you want to be a girl, he can be a girl. I mean, what's wrong with it? Church folks. Wheat and tares are growing together. Huh? And all we can do is preach the word of God. Let it separate. Amen? He said that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, thou in me, that they be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. We can't win the world because we're divided. We cannot affect the world that we live in because the church, the devil, the planet, devil's in the church. Devil's in the pulpit. But thank God, there ain't no devil in the pulpit here. We stand on the word of God, amen? We gonna live and die on the word of God. Because I got somebody waiting on me to come home. And say, well done, well done. You stood firm when everybody else was wishy-washy. You stood on my word. Oneness, unity. In the family's unity. There'll be unity in the Christian families. Huh? Husband and wives, you ought to be together. How can we raise a godly seed and a godly family in husband and wife? Well, she go to that church, I go to church. We'll blah, 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 blah. The devil has planted people in the church to show disunity so the world can mock us. But Christ prayed for unity. And I thank God that many of us were unified with the word of God. If God said it, boy, that's the end of the story, y'all. I may not understand everything, but if God said it, my answer is yes. We'll talk about it later on. But right now, my answer is yes. If God said it. Oh, y'all don't hear me today. Praise God. Look at 17:24. Then look at the next one there, y'all. He says here that, Father, I will that they also whom thou given me be with me. Ooh, he prayed that I be with him. I don't know about y'all, but I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder, y'all. That prayer is going to be fulfilled. He want me to be with him. He want me to see his glory. My mansion. I go to prepare a place for it. He want me to see what he got laid out for me, man.
Yes, sir.
Oh, y'all don't hear me, do you? Whoop, glory to God. Be with me where I am that they may behold my glory. See how great I really am. See how I spoke the stars and the existence. See how I told the moon to move you to shine. See my glory. See my glory. See my glory. I want them to be with me. Oh God, y'all don't see that, do you? Which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Be with him. See his glory. Eyes have not seen. I don't want to leave till God get through with me, y'all. I ain't trying to hurry home because I know I got a work to do. But I ain't afraid though, y'all. I got a hope in my heart. Some of y'all trying to win the lottery down here, but I don't want the lottery already. I'm a winner already. I just got to get home and collect, y'all. Y'all help me with this here. Ain't God good? Praise God. Now, look. Go back to Exodus 30 again. I'm going to get ready to wind him up here now. But we're going to do a second and maybe a third. There's just so much in this here that we just can't run by it. Amen? Prayer changes things. If you're not a praying Christian, you're a mighty poor Christian. I'm going to say that. And all of us could improve in our prayer lives. Am I right about that? Oh, boy. Praise God. Look, Exodus 30 again and 6. Now look at 30 and 6 again. And thou shalt put it before the veil. Where is this altar of incense? It's going on. It's right before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. Is that what it says there? The closest the priest could come to God was at this altar of incense. The closer a believer today can come to God is when you pray.
Amen.
That's the picture right there. The closest you can get to God is when you pray. Now, how much are you praying? Ain't that a good question? How much are you praying? The closest. All this other stuff is way away from the Holy. But this one is right up against the veil.
Amen.
A picture of his torn flesh that opens the door for us to go boldly into God's throne. Can y'all see that? The closest, y'all, in all our worship, prayer. Singing is good, y'all. I like singing. But prayer. That's right next to God. Because Jesus is in the prayer mode. Give me Luke 18. A few more scriptures. I'm going to let you go for today. Today, right today, y'all. See, because the Bible. Then Peter said, 1 Peter said that we are kings and priests under God. So we're priests also. And when we come to God, it's through prayer that we have our closest relationship. Laying it out before God. Don't worry about your English and your verbs and your conjunctions and your prepositions. Don't worry about that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He handled that. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Look at Luke 18, y'all. Luke 18 now. During the prayer time, when we're in our closet, that's when we're closest to God. 18:1 says, and he spake a parable unto them to the end that men ought to always pray. And not faint. Always. Because you're urging yourself into the presence of God. This is God. This is coming right into the very presence of God through our prayer life. That should be the strongest part of our worship. Is your prayer life. And like I say, God, I was convicted. Yes, I pray. But I could pray more.
Amen.
I could pray and I should pray more. And we should pray more. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And look at Ephesians 6 then. Ephesians 6 and 18. Ephesians 6 and 18. It says, 6 and 18. Praise God. Praying always.
Amen.
Praying always. 6:18, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying one for another. Oh, that's what God wants us to do. Praying one for another in the Spirit. Well, you can't pray in the Spirit if the Spirit ain't in you. If man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's not of mine. Is that the Word of God says? You got to have the Spirit of God in you to pray in the Spirit.
Amen.
According to the Word of God. Amen? Look at Revelation. Let me give you one more scripture before we're going to close out on this here. Give me Revelation 8. Go back to 8 again. Praise God. Prayer is important. It changes things. Amen? Even today. Even right now. This ministry is continuing. This very second, Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Or I could change that up and say Christ sits at the right hand of himself. Do that confuse y'all when I say that?
No.
Don't confuse you?
No.
Hey, man, I'm glad to know. Revelation 8:1, y'all. He seemed fit to identify himself in a Trinitarian form. One God. We only got one God.
Amen.
But to carry his work, he has split himself. That's all. Oh, y'all got that right. 8:1. It says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of an hour, half an hour. Y'all see that? And I saw seven angels which stood before God. To them was given seven trumpets. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and that was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayer of the saints upon the golden altar, which is where? And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayer of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquakes. In heaven, y'all, right now, there's that cleansing blood. There is a fountain filled with blood, flow from Emmanuel's veins. But then there's that golden altar, the prayers of the saints. Your prayers are so important. God hears your prayers if you're a child of God.
Amen.
If you're not a child of God, you have no chance. That's why it behooves us to know that we're children of God, to know that you're really saved.
Amen.
You can get a prayer through, as the old folks used to say. I call on you because I know you can get a prayer through. If you save, you can. Amen. Praise God. One of my favorite old hymns was written by a blind preacher. His name was William Walford, W-A-L-F-O-R-D, Walford is what his name was. He was a blind preacher, no formal education at all. Very poor, grew up very, very poor. But they called him the Walking Bible, is what they called him. This 1840, in the 1800s, y'all, somewhere in the 1800s. They called him a Walking Bible because he had the Word of God so deep down in his heart. But he never saw the beauty of the outside, the flowers that we see, the nature, just the beautiful things that God, he never saw them, but he did see inside of heaven, though. He could see inside of heaven. He wrote this song here, and we've sang it many times. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer.
Amen.
Every head bowed today. Father God, we bless you today. Lord, thank you for your word today. Lord God, we thank you for our intercessor sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. We thank you, Lord, that our prayers are being heard, maybe modified, maybe changed to suit your will. But, Lord, we said thank you anyhow. Oh, God, Father, we trust you. We believe that whatever modifications you make in our prayers, all things going to work together for our good. And, Lord, we thank you for it right now. And, Lord God, we pray, Father God, that we might become more prayer warriors, that our prayer life might be strengthened, Lord. Oh, God, and we pray mightily, Lord, for those who have no prayer life at all. Lord, those who just every now and then, Lord, say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. But, Lord, we know that's not a whole prayer life. Just to have a moment, say, Lord, I'm so thankful that you bless me. Lord, we realize that prayer is more than just that.
Yeah.
Lord, help improve our prayer life. Help us, Lord. Give us a hunger and a thirst, Lord, to speak often to you, to Lord, to bring forth the needs of those around us, Lord, those that we work with each and every day. Lord, you said we have not because we ask not.
Yes.
Lord, we realize, Lord, we are deficient in many areas that we pray because we're not asking in faith. Lord, help us, Lord. And Lord, I pray for those that are here that are not saved. Those that are listening that are not saved. And Lord, thinking that their prayers are being heard. Lord, you say you pray not for the world and you don't accept the world's prayers. Lord, I pray that they may pray the correct prayer, accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, asking him in the heart, forgive them for their sins. And Lord, that they might begin to have a dialogue with you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we give you all the praise.